our last episode, we began talking about the series that we're going to be doing over the summer here at Life Fellowship in the book of Psalms called Seasons with God. And we walked through, we talked about how the book is a songbook. And yes. A lot of people know that. Yep. It's kind of familiar language. But we're digging into the 8 different types of psalms that we're going to be looking at over the summertime throughout the series. We've already hit Royal Psalms and we've hit Wisdom Psalms.
Yeah.
Go back and listen to the previous episode if you didn't hear Pastor Ben describe those. I'm Britt Nipper sitting in once again with Pastor Ben Rudolph. So we're going to continue and talk through these other 6 psalms that we're going to be looking through this summer.
Yeah, I think it's important for us to understand the best explanation of what I can say this Seasons with God series is about is taking the theology we know from the Bible, from who God is, and when they it comes crashing against our own human experience. And so the third psalm type of psalm that we're going to be dealing with is what we call penitential psalms or psalms of penitence. And the idea, great examples of these would be Psalm 32, Psalm 51. Each of those were psalms written by David after his sin with Bathsheba. And so they are, these psalms reflect How do I relate to God after my sin? And I think all of us have in our own minds, what do I do after I sin? You know, we have this idea of the gospel today where we know that Jesus has died on the cross for my sins. And when we come to Christ initially, there's this faith and belief that, listen, God wipes removes our sin as far as the east is from the west, right? Like, this is the beauty of salvation, is that there's therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. So we are pure and blameless. We are justified. We are declared righteous before God. But there's still the reality that you and I and everyone listening to this, as long as we have flesh and blood on this side of eternity, we will struggle with sin.
Yeah.
There's going to be things that we do that we don't want to do. There's going to be regret. There's going to be pain, self-inflicted pain. And that's, you know, a lot of times some of these psalms deal with the pain that people commit against us or the offenses people commit against us. These are offenses we have committed against God and against others. And so these are expressions of personal confession and repentance because of personal sin.
And let's be honest, David didn't just cut somebody off in traffic.
No, these are
these
are deep,
big, huge.
Yes,
yeah, these are life-altering sins.
Yeah, and I think we talked about this actually a couple episodes ago, just dealing with David and the difference between David and Saul. And Saul was someone who didn't repent; he never repented. Mm. He was sorry, but there's a difference between being sorry. Saul was always sorry he got caught.
Mm. Yeah,
and there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people when you, it's like, hey, you know, you did this wrong, and they're really upset. But they're not really upset about what they've done. They're upset that everyone knows what they've done, or they're upset that they're having to deal with the consequences of what they've done. But their true mourning and repentance is not there over their own sin. I have sinned against a holy, righteous God. And so, anyways, these penitential psalms teach us how to have a spirit of repentance and confession, and helping us to learn how to walk back into communion with God. It's not that we have lost our relationship with God, but because of sin fractures that communion with Him. How do we walk back to God and say, okay, knowing that it's not about me proving myself again. If I understand the gospel, I don't have to prove myself. I don't have to clean myself up. So what is the biblical response to my sin? What is biblical confession? What's biblical repentance? And so one of the beautiful things that these psalms do is the author sees the sin for what it really is. Like you said, these were not minor things. And he doesn't explain away, doesn't excuse, he just says, this is what I've done. This is the horrible sins I've done. He acknowledges it fully. And then there's an appeal to God's mercy and kindness. Hmm. Saying, listen, God, I need you. I need to know you in the mercy and the one of the Hebrew words I love is chesed. It's this love, this deep compassion love. Loving kindness is what most people translate it for from the Hebrew to the English. But this steadfast love, this loving kindness is always a common description of God's character in these moments. And so it's an appeal to God's forgiveness. It's an appeal to God's mercy. It's an appeal to God's love. But it's reorienting ourselves back to God because of what I've done and because of God's grace and mercy. And so, you know, there's a cry for help. There's a statement of this is what I've done. And then there's this appeal to be renewed. I need you to renew me. And listen, people listening, that might be your situation. That might be your season right now. There's this struggle with sin in your life. How do I continually go back to God when I continually fail?
And as you said in the last episode, those aren't songs we sing on a Sunday
morning.
No, we don't. This is the songbook.
You know, this is a side note. There's an artist by the name of Jamie Soles, S-O-L-E-S. Jamie Soles is a guy. He's the only guy I've known. Now, there's a couple other artists that have done some psalms, like putting psalms to music. I think Shane and Shane is another group, the contemporary group that's done that. But Jamie Soles is he's a Canadian songwriter, and you know, he writes and sings his own music. So he's not the greatest singer in the world, but I think he does a really good job. I have listened to many of his psalms that he has put music to, and they are word for word.
Mm.
Okay, and there are some that are just really, really good. There's some I'm like, okay, that's not really singable, but there are some that are incredibly singable. And what I would encourage you is, you know, with great thing about Apple iTunes or whatever, you can kind of listen to some songs and enjoy them. But if you're looking to listen to some of these songs or psalms in a reflective way, I would encourage people to do that. That'd be something that might be helpful for them. So, okay, so penitential psalms. Next one is enthronement psalms. And if you're saying, well, dude, you just said royal psalms. So what is the difference between...
Enthronement is like a king sitting on a throne, right? Isn't it?
So here's the major difference between enthronement psalms and royal psalms is enthronement psalms deal specifically with Yahweh already ruling and reigning over history and over creation. Okay? So they are songs of praise. We find them really between Psalm 95 and Psalm 100. And these are all psalms that are written and sung as a praise. God, because you are ruler and king over this world, here's how we can be glad. Here's how we can worship. Here's how, you know, come let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our God, our maker. I mean, that's kind of we've heard that line before. And so whereas the royal psalms dealt primarily with the earthly reign of a king and the wisdom for the king and the prayers for the king and the marriage of the king. These are specifically, God, you are ruling and reigning here and now.
So not to change the wording, but enthronement, they almost feel like acknowledgement psalms. Like we are acknowledging that you are king, you are Lord, you are God.
Yes, and they're very worshipful. They're very expressive. They're very positive, okay? Where, you know, Psalm 2 is this, it's almost a mix of a warning and wisdom psalm where, you know, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? It shares this struggle between the earthly rulers of this world wrestling against God's anointed. Who's going to win? Well, God's anointed is going to win. So what are you going to do, earthly rulers? You better learn. You either have to submit and to kiss the Son and go along with God's plans, or you will be destroyed. Mm. Like, so it's not necessarily a song that we would sing to rejoice greatly in God's rule and reign. It's a, what are you going to do with God's anointed and the powers of the world struggling against each other? So anyways, those are the differences. There's not as many enthronement psalms, but they're packed together, really Psalm 95 to Psalm 100, that deal with, there are times we just need to sing and celebrate that God's on the throne.
Mm,
you know, I remember, I think I've shared this story before. The Sunday after Donald Trump got elected, I had people come in on that Sunday morning ready to sing Psalm 95. Oh, God is great. God's on the throne. I had people come in and they were like, oh, is there a God right now? I mean, I that was the church I was pastoring. Yeah. And I had both people come into me and just, man, I'm so excited. God is real. God is king. God is all this. I mean, they were singing the enthronement psalms, whereas I had other people that were like, where's God right now? What, is God forsaken our nation? Why would he allow Donald Trump to get elected? So I remember that Sunday coming home and being like, man, that is unbelievable how we have such a cross-section of people in our church that feel so strongly about this. And so anyways, so those are enthronement psalms. Yeah. The next one, okay, I'm super excited to be preaching that. And I'm not going to be preaching, I've got four of these. Dan and some of our other staff pastors are going to be preaching on some of these as well. But I'm going to be preaching on the imprecatory psalms.
Imprecatory.
Now, if you know what imprecatory psalms are, these are the psalms that you don't know what to do with. Okay? These are the psalms where, like, God, I want you to bash their teeth out.
Smite my enemies.
God, I want you to wipe these people out. Right? These are the songs you want to sing when you are in traffic.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Imprecation is a curse that invokes misfortune on someone. So imprecatory deals with the author saying they've been personally wronged or they've been corporately wronged, and they are saying, God, I want you to bring about justice. I want you to destroy this evil work that's going on. These people are trying to destroy me, or these people have done something to me, and I'm asking you to come upon them and make them fail, make them falter, put them in the grave. I mean, there are strong words that are in the imprecatory psalms. I think the harshest one would be, I will greatly rejoice when you bash their children upon the rocks. I can't remember exactly what psalm that is, but it's real.
Yeah,
and if we don't acknowledge that there are times in which we feel that when injustice has happened against us, all right, I will use an extreme example. If I was a parent of a child who had been abused, I would find great comfort in the imprecatory psalms.
Absolutely.
I would want God to smash someone's teeth in. I would want God to take them down to Sheol. Like, that's, I got to be honest with you, that's how I would feel, okay? And again, this is where theology crashes in with our emotions. And I'm actually, I think as believers, what we have to wrestle with is when Jesus says, love your neighbors and bless those who persecute you and love your enemies.
Turn the other cheek.
You're like, and then you're praying for God to smash people? Like, how do I, are these two different thoughts? Are they opposed to one another? What do I do with this? And that's a really good question. What I would say is hold that tension, because as a follower of Jesus, we have to understand that we have to hold the mercy of God in one hand and the justice of God in the other hand, and know that God knows how to apply them perfectly to everything in life.
Well, and I was going to say too, because I was going to bring up that tension of like, how do you wrestle with those? And I guess, and I don't want to extrapolate something from this that I shouldn't be, but it almost feels like God needs to be the one to handle that justice, not us.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of what Jesus is speaking to. Yes. We should turn the other cheek, because guess what? God's going to handle that justice, even though it's not easiest for us to do, but yeah.
Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Yeah. Sometimes it's more of a personality issue. Some people read the imprecatory psalms and are like, that's awesome. And then there's some people like, I'm embarrassed that this is in the Bible. The merciful people are like, I don't like the imprecatory psalms, where the more justice people are like, I'm going to post this on Facebook. But I think what we have to understand is that God is as much of God of justice as he is of mercy.
Yeah.
And we cannot minimize either one of those for the sake of our own comfort.
Yeah.
Because we do not have a perfect understanding of mercy or a perfect understanding of justice. None of us do.
That's where the phrase God is love fails.
Yes.
Because yes, God is love, but
God is also just. Yeah. And so we have to hold both those in those hands and the tension, and how do we apply this, knowing that there are sometimes we see it looks like people are getting away with things. God, bring justice, bring the sword of justice. Mm-hmm. There are times, the older I get, I'm actually praying that more. I ask God, when, bring your sword of justice against the schemes and the plans of wicked men. I pray that all the time now.
But what you're praying feels like your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, it feels that way. God, like, I want your kingdom to be known here. You're not just saying someone took my sandwich out of the break room refrigerator.
No,
it's a true kingdom prayer.
Yeah. I see, you know, for example, this is, you know, PG-13 illustration. I saw my brother forwarded me a tweet of someone that showed a bar in Texas a gay bar in Texas that allowed children to come in and have this kind of you know, walk in celebration with these transgender people. I mean, it was
a drag show.
A drag show with children. And there's something about that for me that I think that is, I don't have strong enough words to say how wrong that is. Mm-hmm. But we're dealing with two very different worldviews today in our world. And so when I see that, I say, God, you have to bring justice in your way, because I know what Jesus thought about that. Jesus said, it's better for you to, you know,
millstone around your neck
than to corrupt these children. Yeah. And when I see the corruption of children like that, it just, it makes me say, God, all right, God, I'm asking you to stop this wickedness that's happening in our nation. And so those are the imprecatory psalms. How much time do I got left?
Just under five.
Okay.
But we'll make it through. We'll make it through. We got three more to go, right?
We got three more to go. The next psalms are Thanksgiving psalms. These are, listen, direct praise to God, the worship and communion, the gratitude, acknowledging God's goodness, his faithfulness, his love, you know, taste and see that the Lord is good. These are psalms where they make
sense.
These
are probably read. These are read, you know, on Sunday school or at the front.
You know, these are the psalms you see as memes on people's Facebook page, you know, with the nice clouds or the flowers. Yeah. You're like, oh, that's so sweet. But there are times that we've got to practice what I would say why these are important, because, listen, there are times when the more Eeyore-ish type of people in our midst, they forget to look up and see the goodness of God.
Yeah. We've started something with our children every single night. We make them say at least one thing they were thankful for from the day. Only because we're pointing out, even if the day is horrible, there is one thing that you can find to be thankful for.
That's so good. So good. All right. The next one is a pilgrimage song. These pilgrimage songs are really called songs of ascent. They are 15 of them from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. And they were sung by the people of God when they would go to Jerusalem for their three annual festivals. And they deal with the journey along the way, the ups and downs of the journey, right? And so life is a journey. And these reflect the nature of our journey with God, the ups and the downs, the attacks, the feelings of abandonment, the feelings of hope. And so these are pilgrimage songs, songs for life, songs understanding that life is a journey. And it's not just one straight, you know, nice little path. There are twists and turns, and there are valleys of the shadow of death, and there are mountaintop experiences. But God is with me. The whole point of songs of ascent or these pilgrimage songs are all about God's presence and God's faithfulness to get you to where he is. Mm. And so that's the point of pilgrimage songs, psalms. And then the last one is lament psalms. There's a lot of lament psalms. And lament is a little bit different than imprecatory and penitent psalms in that these are psalms in which the writer is crying out to God because of times of distress and despair. He just feels abandoned. He feels alone. There are maybe things have happened to him, whether it's corporately as a nation or personally, and he is just mourning how bad things are in life. And he's asking God, you've got to fix this situation. But there's always this mix between trust and expressing the sadness. God, I don't like this, but I'm trusting in you. I don't see the solution, but I'm trusting in you. And so these Psalms of Lament teach us how to mourn. They teach us how to be sad. You know, a lot of times we think like, man, if I'm sad, I got to stop being sad. Sadness is wrong. And what we have to understand is sadness was meant to, I think about that movie. What's the Disney Pixar movie where all the emotions of the girl, I'm forgetting it.
Yeah.
Is Inside Out.
Yes,
that's what
Inside
it is.
Inside Out. Inside Out.
But I love that they had a sadness character in that movie. And I think what's scary today is most people, when they feel sad, they're like, I got to take a pill. I can't be sad. No, I think when you feel sad, when there's times of mourning, learn how to do that spiritually. Yeah. Learn how to do that with God. Learn how to be sad so that you can come through the sadness.
Yeah, don't let sadness turn into hopelessness.
Yeah, don't let it's again, these are seasons with God. You don't need to stay there. Yeah. They're not destinations. But
that's
but there are times where we understand, yeah, I'm gonna be sad. And there's nothing wrong with you. It's just living the reality of living in a broken, sinful world. And when you want to lament the brokenness of our world, you know what to say. These are psalms that put words in our heart to say, yes, this is what I feel. This is what I want to express to God, but I didn't think I was allowed to express to God. And so take all of these psalms and understand that don't bury your emotions, but don't let your emotions run wild. I think that's what we're saying here. Emotions are good. God's given us emotions,
yeah.
But let this combination of theology and emotions come together to express your heart, your faith, your worship, your struggle with God in a way that's meaningful, that you will grow deeper in your walk with God as a result of this, I believe.
And I would say make sure you let the theology guide your decisions and choices, not your emotions.
Absolutely.
Because your emotions can override the theology and say, well, I feel this.
Yes.
This is how I feel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember when we were younger, there used to be the phrase, the whole been there, done that, got the t-shirt? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That's kind of what you describing all of these, that's kind of what it feels like. It feels like as you read through the Psalms, you're reading people who've been there and who have done it and who've experienced it.
Yeah.
And now you have this template to look back on and say, okay, this is the season I'm going through in my life. How did they handle it?
Yeah.
And God saw it fit to be in his book, so maybe I should listen.
Yeah, and I can bring these words, these expressions to God to help me to know how to talk to him. Because sometimes, I know you've been there, I've been there. You're like, God, I don't even know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
In literally, there's no words that can come in our minds, in our hearts, to express to God. And so sometimes it's literally just like, I'm just going to read this psalm to you, God, because this is exactly how I feel.
Yeah.
So don't shy away from those experiences. And what I would say is lean into them with God. There are seasons. And so I hope that you will embrace the season you're in with God and let this be a moment in your spiritual walk for you to grow in your communion with him. So,
Seasons with God. That's the summer series we're doing here at Life Fellowship up until the month of August. So all of June and July, we'll be going through these 8 different types of psalms. Again, we'd love to see you here in person. But if you're traveling, you can always catch us online, live streaming on Sunday morning, or catch the sermon posted on our YouTube channel after that. Make sure you don't miss one, just so you can get familiar with all these psalms and know how to interact with God throughout each and every season that you go through in life. This has been another episode of Life Talks. We'll catch you next time.
You've been listening to Life Talks. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. Share this podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to let your friends and family know about Life Talks. We'd love to hear from you as well, so leave a comment and let us know your thoughts on this episode or any other topics we've discussed. Life Talks is a ministry of Life Fellowship in Cornelius, North Carolina. For more information on Life Talks or Life Fellowship, visit lifecharlotte.com, or you can find us on Facebook at Life Fellowship Charlotte.